Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 28, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, the 28th of August 2019. Working on adhesion with the creator is only possible in a 10. In the old times, on previous levels of development, this was not so. There were other ways to achieve adhesion with the creator. But in our time, this is the only way. All work before joining the group is a preparation for the real work. When I start getting involved in it, it is as if a progress bar begins to scroll showing the percentage of the downloaded program. To the extent of my inclusion in the group, a space is formed for the thought of creation to enter and fulfill me. Are the efforts to adhere to the creator individual or work in the 10? All individual work is to be included in the 10. Although you may need a lifetime to do that, even more than one. There is no choice. We have to work on our unity to be in sync with the nature of the world, or it will erase us from the globe. The upper force fills us, reformatting us, like a progress bar on a computer that shows the percentage of the upload as it reaches 100%. The thought of creation also affects us, penetrating us according to our efforts. Meaning, we become filled with the creator and adhere to him. The creator's thought will reformat and organize us so that in everything inside us, in all 620 parts, our desires, we will begin to feel the upper force acting in us. This thought penetrates us, like a program downloaded to a computer, at our own request and demand. The creator formed an idea, we are a part of it and become involved in it. In addition, he gave us the opportunity to reformat ourselves in the likeness of this thought, and by doing so become included in the creator. As in this world, when we get closer to someone, we gradually begin to acquire their tastes and habits, so do we. Wishing to connect with the thought of creation, will begin to take on the form of the creator, adopt his thought, making it our own. Thus we'll reach adhesion with him. The more effort we put into attaining the thought of creation, the more we develop, change our form, and advance along the axes of time. We will undergo various changes and will realize that we are beginning to take his form. I affirm that, in reality, there is none else besides him, and that I too am included in this concept. I don't want to bring any changes into reality, I only want to attain the creator, unite with the thought of creation. This means to adhere to the creator. Friends, I need you. Choice is the most important thing in our life. We constantly choose, weigh, and compare one thing with another, either consciously or subconsciously, changing our approach, our system of evaluation, views, and priorities. Our entire life is the choice of the best option according to some criteria determined by what is more important to us now. We are constantly checking what we have to lose as a result of our choice and how much we will gain because of it. It is possible that the solution we chose is not very pleasant, but it is so important that we must go for it. All our life we work like the most complex computer that processes a lot of data in order to make the correct calculation. Of course, each of us would like to make the right choice that allows us to confidently determine the best situation that wins by all the indicators and avoid the worst situations without any shadow of a doubt, not choosing one at the expense of the other and regretting the missed opportunities. Only faith allows making such a choice, the feeling of the force of bestowal and love, which is something beyond our will to receive. The problem, however, is that we do not feel this force of bestowal, so how can we acquire such faith called the stuff? Even if we acquire it, at the next degree, the faith already crosses into the egoistic sphere and becomes the serpent. I must overcome this growing egoism and then I will come to faith again, already at a new degree. Each time the force of holiness crosses over into the egoism and so I rise all the time as if walking on two legs, right and left. The left line grows only if I have raised the right one correctly. We should always lean on the staff and not on the serpent, that is, on faith, on something that seems low and unimportant to our egoism, and lift it upward. This is the entire work of a person. The staff constantly falls and we must lift it. If this were not happening, we would not be able to advance and get closer to the Creator. Every time I lift the staff, the faith, I take another little step forward. As soon as I leave this staff, it immediately falls and turns into a serpent. It is help from above that the staff falls, otherwise, I would not be able to advance. If I lean on my knowledge, that is, make an egoistic choice, then I do not have any difficulty. The staff is what directs me to the Creator. If I hold it up, as the most important thing, then step by step I get closer to the quality of bestowal, degree by degree. The environment is the staff if it is more important to me than myself. Then through the environment, I rise toward the Creator. Therefore, this degree is called Moses because it pulls, moshed, the people. The light is only revealed if there is a barrier before it. It would seem that outer space should be the brightest because nothing obscures the light there. However, precisely because there is no barrier for the light, it cannot be seen. The cosmos is absolutely black. However, if we put a screen before the rays of the sun, then you will see that there is light. All we are missing is the screen. Light cannot shine if there are no barriers on its path. Therefore, if we want the light to be revealed in us, we should make a screen for it. One person cannot become a screen for the light. However, if we unite in the ten, above our egoism, despite the fact that each of us is full of pride and does not want connection with others, we raise the importance of connection and even higher than that, the importance of the Creator whom we want to reveal. We want to feel the Creator inside of our internal unity as real as we feel each other now. Together, we make such a sandwich. Our will to receive is at the bottom and unity, the screen, our readiness to connect despite our egoism, is on the top. Then the upper light is revealed on this screen and becomes visible to us. One person cannot build such a screen out of his personal egoism. This is possible only by connecting with the friends. To help a friend means raising the importance of spirituality, the importance of connection, giving him the staff. Nobody can do it by himself. If one can do it by oneself, it is not real spiritual work but only preparation for it. Every time this work becomes more and more difficult, after all, now I trip over the staff that I lifted the time before. The left line rises higher and higher at the expense of the right one, at the expense of my past successes. I must start everything anew as if in a new place, in a new country, in a new language, with a new understanding and new perception. This is a new degree. Every day a person is as if born again. It is impossible to do this alone. It is a huge mistake to think that by shutting myself inside, in my personal inner work, it is possible to do deeper, more intimate clarifications. This is nonsense. It takes many years for a person to understand that in this way he is just spinning in the same place, like a puppy chasing his tail. Only by incorporating each time in the group, even if it consists of beginners, we will be rising to increasingly elevated states. Even if the friends are below you, by incorporating in them, you ascend to the next degree. It is only possible to lift the staff with the help of friends, all together. Friends, I need you. Help me. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 17th of August 2019, Baal HaSulam, Shemati 59, concerning the rod and the serpent. In the cage of your egoism. Question: A man, unlike an animal, can see some kind of pleasure in the future, calculate the steps and get to it, giving up on enjoyment at the intermediate stages. Why, with such a huge intellect, can't he rationally calculate the state of equilibrium with nature? Why do all his rational attempts to build a balanced society constantly fail? Answer: because he is inside his egoistic nature. He cannot calculate anything. Comparing one egoism relative to another, in what he wins or loses more, he still finds himself inside his egoism. He is not free. He does not have the second degree of freedom. What he considers freedom is the illusion of staying under the influence of an external coercive force. Question: can't he calculate, if I use my egoism, I will feel bad? Answer: this is how we always try to get away from troubles. But this does not mean that we are free. I am constantly running away from egoistic blows, a stick from here, a stick from there, and this is how I stumble around from morning to evening. Look what is happening on the streets, in buses, in the subway, in offices, everywhere. Look at all this human anthill. Where can we talk about freedom? There is no freedom. It is possible to choose, at any given moment, at the most, as it seems to me, comfortable state of all possibilities. That is all. I choose from what is given to me, but I am always limited. The Creator shines upon me through the corrected state, but I am not yet corrected. Naturally, I do not understand His influence on me at all. Where is He driving me? What does He want from me at every moment? If I do not know this, then what kind of freedom of will can there be? From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, May 12, 2019. New Life Number 1134. Natural Anarchism.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedael. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about anarchism. Anarchism is sweeping across the world and also across Israel, and we'd like to take a deeper look into this phenomenon in order to understand, can it serve us, and if so, how? Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah. There are several levels to anarchy. So one is the desire to change the existing institution, the current systems, mechanisms, values. The other level is a more social, even political one, where we want to take the power from the elites, the different ruling forces, and give it to the people, instead of it being in the hands of some forceful party, whether they have lots of money or that they control us on the political level. And another level is that all forms of government and control over others are unnecessary. But a person wants to live in endless freedom where he can actually do what he feels like according to what he sees fit. And this is something that's sweeping across the net. There's a group called Anonymous. It's a very large group that joins different protests, international protests, and especially by means of cyber and overtaking different networks and promoting their ideas on the net. They're trying to deliver their message, which is anarchy, a kind of limitless freedom of speech on the net. And what I'd like to ask is that this was once a marginal phenomenon, and today it became mainstream. It's not that this is how everyone is, but a large part of the mainstream feels that they share this worldview. And I'd like to ask about the evolution of this phenomenon. Why is it becoming more popular today? Why are there more and more voices in the public that are calling out for anarchy? There are many additional questions here, but it is a well-known phenomenon. Man, that by nature is an egoist, that his ego is truly his entire foundation, then due to this nature, he's not interested in being limited in any way. And, for example, look at a baby. You want to limit him somehow. He cries, he doesn't want to, he gets mad. That's nature. It's natural. You put an animal in some cage or some place, even if you give it food and everything it needs, still it wants to break loose. That's nature. This is how we are. Even the still, the vegetative, the animate, people, everyone on their level, everything on its level, demands freedom beyond the boundaries by which others want to limit him. And that others want to limit him, that's also natural, because unless we limit everyone, we will not be able to exist together. Meaning, coexistence forces us to limit each other and reach some kind of mutual consent that we have to keep these and those boundaries. Otherwise, everyone breaks into the boundaries of the other. And when he transpasses, he already feels some kind of resistance, and we won't be able to live this way. And this is well known to us to this day. Mankind is experiencing wars and disputes because we breach each other's boundaries. It could be the boundaries of property, and power, control, doesn't matter what. It could be something completely imaginary, but still, this is mine and this is yours, and I disagree. And every time we want to change the boundaries or examine, am I within my own boundaries? Am I in control of them? Or is it someone else? And so on. So anarchism is, at its essence, is that I don't even want to know about boundaries. I don't want to be limited. Yeah, in anything, at all. Then by that, I as if erase the ability of the other person to exist. If I say that I do what I feel like, on all levels, and what happens to the other person and the next person. And so we see that anarchistic movements grow especially during times of revolutions where there are no laws and anyone can determine for a certain period of time whatever they feel like until they're limited by power, by force. Meaning anarchy and belligerence usually go together. Their partners. Yeah. Because it can't be any other way. If it's not anarchy, then it's already parliamentarism. That we sit and talk and decide this for you, this for me, this for her, and so on. This is also how it is in the family. Kids want one thing, the parents want another thing, the husband wants a third thing, and the wife a fourth thing. Can you exist in such a family where everyone wants to be an anarchist? Still, a person has to some extent to allow himself to be controlled by others. And only by setting boundaries can we exist. Therefore, anarchism is according to our nature, according to our ego. This is how it erupts in us. This is what I want. This is what I feel like. We read a newspaper or hear the news. First of all, the anarchist erupts in us, our inner anarchist, that says, this is what I want. I disagree with this or that. If you understand that the world is integral, meaning that there are plenty of forces operating in it, systems, relationships between people where everyone wants to have it their way just like you do, then already that puts a limitation on each and everyone's anarchism. You have to determine some kind of network in which you allow everyone to exist. Otherwise, if you're strong, then there's someone who's stronger than you. and what will you get as a result? And therefore we understand that anarchism is our nature. We can see it on babies, on animals, but to the extent to which we grow and become educated and we gain experience in life, we understand life, we study nature and our environment, the conditions that we're in, then we gradually move away from the natural anarchism. And even though that it remains, but we build a society that helps everyone to limit the anarchist in him and to reach the so-called politician in him. That's how it is. What do you mean? Because it doesn't sound that great. This is how it is. I don't mean politician in a derogatory way, but it depends on... So what do you mean? That we have to live in consent. That's it. Mutual consent. Otherwise you can't exist. And we see that there are different kinds of wars, guerrilla wars, wars between tribes and so on. And these are things that mankind already more or less overcame, because mankind sees that it's impossible to live this way. With the explosion of population that we have today, we can't allow ourselves to simply fight and so on. It's getting too crowded. How could it be that anarchists will reach a state where they live in places like New York, Moscow, Manhattan, London, Paris? It's impossible. You have a few millions of people there on a small piece of land. So how can I be an anarchist there? I can be an anarchist if I close myself in my room and yell that I'm an anarchist. Okay, if I'm not standing in anyone's way and I'm not controlling, trying to control anyone else, then okay, I can say what I feel like. And what then? We don't have the ability to use our anarchism in a wild way, but as it is, according to its natural inclination, but still we have to take this into consideration because this is human nature. And we see this every time in courts and different claims that people file against each other, that everyone says, this is what I feel like. No matter what, this is what I want. And the other says, this is what I feel like. And what? So, if we're building different social networks and the correct judicial systems, then it's okay. We can exist. But there too, there's anarchy. That really, this is how it seems sometimes. Or that the government really implements its own anarchy and deals with everyone the way they feel like. And so it becomes a vast kind of anarchism, dictatorship, and then it's a big problem. Meaning, anarchism has many colors. On the one hand, you're saying that we can't use anarchism in a wild way. On the other hand, you can't deny it. Meaning that, yes, you have to take into consideration. We see it especially in governments. Every government wants to do this and that. Why? Because it wants to. Sometimes it explains, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does it secretly, sometimes it reveals these things, sometimes it uses propaganda and so on. It's a problem. Anarchism, it's simply the revelation of our ego on different levels. You said that, going back to what we talked about previously, that you can't use it in a wild way. On the other hand, this is something that you have to take into consideration. What are the boundaries that we have to keep and what don't we have to keep? By nature, from what we learn and discover every day more and more, in nature there are complete and absolute laws that lock us and the entire system of nature together. And we have to take each other into consideration, know what is our place, and to use our ego correctly. And everyone, even though that he wants to be king of the world, has to bring himself to a state where he is not king of the world, but that he serves the world, that he truly is the world's servant entirely, as much as possible, that he has to make sure that the entire world will reach a state where everyone is well off. And by that, a person really limits himself, steps on his egoistic, anarchistic inclination, and works to the benefit of the world. And how does he cope with that anarchistic inclination in him? In a very simple way, he sees that by that, he realizes the law of the general network. We are in a general network. And today, altogether, we're a bit more familiar with the matter of networks. So there's a general network that we're all a part of, whether we like it or not. And we have to keep the laws of this network. Otherwise, we'll all the time feel that this network is controlling us so much so that it suffocates us. But if I know what the laws of the network are, that I'm a part of against my own will, then I start saying that it's good for me to keep these laws along with others in mutual cooperation. And then, and maybe this is a form that's opposite to anarchism, but this form allows us to exist in a good, a nice way, in safety and prosperity, that I can live my life even if I'm little or old, not only when I'm strong and healthy and I can somehow serve myself, then we'll be able to build a society that will serve everyone in a good, nice, and mutual way. Can you explain a bit what this network is and why does it limit a person? Because you're saying that in regard to that anarchism, in regard to my ego, that as if it limits it, it controls it, because I don't want to keep any laws. Man's problem is that he's not like an animal that keeps the laws of nature instinctively, that this is their nature, that they're adhered to nature, they're cleaved on to the general nature, and therefore everything that they do is correct in order to survive, in order to exist. And if they realize their instincts, then by that they don't breach anything. They don't just burn forests, litter. They don't harm the planet the way we do. It doesn't exist in animals, because they're keeping the general, integral, mutual law of nature instinctively. They're aware of the limitations of the network. Animals, instinctively, it means that none of them knows anything, but this is how they live. This is their nature and the nature of the network. They have the same nature. Whereas people, they're all the complete opposite. And the more they evolve, their ego develops. The anarchistic force grows stronger. And everyone wants to say, I'm king of the world, not wanting to take anyone or anything into consideration. And we've reached a point in our development where we have to teach people because we have no choice. about the general law that nature is general and collective, that we have to be in mutuality, about the special framework that nature keeps us in, and these are things that we must keep. And therefore, nowadays, we're really needy of this kind of education. Otherwise, we won't even be able to survive in nature in general, in the still, in the vegetative, in the animate world. We won't be able to survive. We will destroy everything. Precisely due to the anarchistic inclination that exists in us. Just to see if I get it. A few minutes ago we said that there are two forces that go together all the time, anarchism and belligerence. Yeah. And each of them is actually trying to kind of be in control, that either I can do what I feel like, or that there's a force that limits me. And as if they're all the time in this kind of conflict, balance between them, the desire for anarchism and the need for belligerence. It's one and the same. Belligerence isn't contrary to anarchism. Why not? Suppose the government. It's belligerent, it limits me. In this way, yeah, okay, I see what you mean. So we're individuals, and every individual has a desire for anarchy naturally. Meaning it's our nature, but because we're living in a society, society limits us in one way or another. So there's a kind of conflict. Now, you mentioned that when Yael asked, what limitations should we keep, what shouldn't we, because on the one hand, to allow a person to realize himself, on the other hand, not to harm each other. And you said, not from the point of view of a certain kind of regime or government or laws of one kind or another, but you said that in nature there are absolute laws, meaning there's a third factor here. It's not me against society or the government or whatever, but suddenly there's nature here. You're saying we're a part of nature. In nature there's the still, the vegetative, the animate, and people, and there are absolute rules there that don't ask me or ask you, but they simply work on everything everywhere. So if I understand the situation, then what's belligerent here? Nature? Of course. I'm in struggle with nature, with the network of forces, which is a global integral network that holds everyone inside this network and determines that we have to be interconnected in a complete and mutual way. And if I don't want to be connected to anyone else, so that's the question. If you don't want to be connected to anyone, what does society do? If society pays no attention to you and do whatever you feel like as long as you don't harm anyone, then you'll probably die. What? You don't need society. You have to receive from society different services and things, everything. Why does nature impose different laws upon me? You said that the desire to be king of the world is natural for everyone. So why can't everyone be king of the world? Why not? Why is there someone or something that has to tell us, no, this is allowed, this is forbidden? I understand that it's forbidden to harm others, okay. But why is it that we have the desire to be king of the world and we can't realize it? It comes from nature and we can realize it only in the opposite way, that I can be king of the world by taking my place in society, in nature, in such a way that I help all of mankind become an integral system. And then actually, thanks to me, thanks to my efforts, thanks to my work, they achieve completion. And where is then the desire to do what I feel like? This should be my desire. To realize what my desire that comes from nature wants, and I have to discover this desire. I have an instinctive desire where I feel like doing what I want, complete wild anarchism. But it is possible, by studying, by learning the laws of nature, to understand what the real desire is. You're talking about anarchism on a higher level. Can you explain a bit? How is it different? I want to use all of the laws of nature in all of my inclinations and in everything that I am in order to bring the world, for it to become a unanimous system, for everyone to be connected in a good, nice, and mutual way, and that everyone will discover their place in the system in such a way that no one will feel that they're chained, that they're tied. No one. It's possible on condition that everyone takes their place to the benefit of the entire general system. And you're saying that what I feel in that state is inner freedom, meaning I won't feel that I'm forced, but yeah, that means to be free in our desire, even though that it is an anarchistic desire. And what makes that switch? Because today it's crude anarchy. Only by starting to see how the system of nature works, where we see and understand that we are in a network of forces, and that these forces, one way or another, they're working on us. And they have to control us. It's nature. These are absolute laws. And therefore, it's good for me to know these laws and to obey them. Can you explain a bit about the network itself? What is it? What are the laws that limit me? To give a person... It's simply where we exist, including the psychological laws that you also understand, that all of us have to know these and those laws and learn from that. What do I have to do in order to really be free? So I see that being freer is possible only if I understand and know the laws of nature and keep them and realize them. And then I'm free, because then nothing pressures me. It's like a person that sits in a car and knows exactly how to drive. So if I understand correctly, the feeling of limitation and absence of freedom is because we're not adapted to the system. That's the only problem. And because we don't know how to suit ourselves to nature, that makes us feel pressured, experience problems. These clamps don't allow us to live our life normally. So we simply have to learn, where are we? Why do we feel the way that we do? And what do we need in order to be free? Dr. Lakeman, last question, even though that our time's up. What I understand is that nature gave everyone the desire to be king of the world. That's the most natural thing in the world, not to be limited by any external force. Yeah, to realize whatever I want, and so on. And nature gave us this desire so that I, as an individual, will make the world a place where every individual, every person will be able to feel that he's the king, that he's realizing himself to the fullest. So the most advanced state is that we create a society where everyone feels completely free, that he's realizing himself, that he's the king, but the existence of such a society depends on everyone feeling this way. Exactly. Otherwise, none of us will feel free. If we will keep the general laws of nature of the system that we're in, then by that, we really go into the safest, calmest, best possible state where we see the world from one end to the other. We see the worlds. We feel also unlimited by the boundaries of life and death, above all boundaries. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.